Today we're going to look at the theme of Jesus is the bread of life, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And it's a very interesting theme, and we look at a few things. But basically, Jesus is talking about the fact that only he can satisfy a need. And as I was looking into this, I found a few quotes from famous people who actually made me think about this. So I don't know if you know an actor called Jim Carrey. Do you know him? He's one of like my top five best actors. Really well known, famous, made a lot of money. Just kind of my top five is Owen Wilson, number one, Will Ferrell. So that's kind of the movies I watch. Not very intellectual in my movie choice, but I love them. But he said, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. And Freddie Mercury, another guy who I think was very deep in his thinking, and I've preached on a few of his songs, he said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. So these two kind of very famous, and there's many others, kind of successful, they've had everything they dreamed of, but still they have a need inside of them. They're still hungry for something that they didn't find in all of these things. And that's where our story comes in. So John chapter 6, it's just 8 verses, you can find it in your Bibles.
So John 6, 32 to 40. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.
Thank you, Sarah. So just going to look quickly at three verses in this passage. But basically what's happened is, you remember Jesus fed loads of people. So at the feeding of the 5,000, he's just fed them with kind of 2 pieces of fish and 5 breads, and he's multiplied that and fed literally 15,000 people. So the people kind of knew that he was kind of doing these miracles and giving free bread. And for them, bread was essential for their lives, because we probably don't think of it that way, but they probably didn't know what they were going to eat in the next week. And we probably don't even doubt that we'll have enough food in the next kind of the rest of our lives. So for them, kind of the bread was really important. And therefore, they're coming to the guy who can actually give free bread. And when they arrive, he changes completely the sense of what the bread means. He says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So he's saying what we all know about the gospel. Basically, we are called to trust and believe in God. But then he says, for the bread of God is a bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So when they hear this, they're all like, yes, give us that bread. We want that bread. We want to know more about that bread. And this is his answer when they say that. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. I don't know about you, but with some foods and with even kinds of bread, after a while you get bored of it, don't you? Like if you really like something and you eat a lot of it, then you get bored. We went to Cornwall and we discovered this thing called cream tea, which you all know very well, and this cream called Rhodas. I don't know if you've tried it. It's like really proper, really good. And the first time we tried it, we thought, oh, this is amazing. And we had bought some more the next day. And kind of the third day, it was like, yeah, this is all right. It's good. But we got a bit bored of it. Fourth day, yeah. And then we came back here, and they sell it in Waitrose, but we never bought it again. We just got bored of it. But it's just that kind of thirst that you kind of really want it, but then after a while you get bored of it. And I get that with series a lot. I don't know who enjoys watching series. I love watching my Netflix series. And my problem is many times I come back sort of 10:30 after a meeting or something, and then I usually want to watch something. The problem is if it's a series that's quite good, I can't just watch one episode. So you just watch two, and it's like 12:30. And if you watch three, then that's a big problem the next day, because Benjamin's up like at 6:30. And if you go to bed at 1:30, it's not great. So I've decided, after I finished watching the last season of Stranger Things, I said no more series till September. But then, actually, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, well, which is my favorite series? I thought of my favorite series, and we watched 3 episodes last night, so I'm not very good at it. So while we are at this, can you share with the people next to you, which is your favorite series, kind of all-time favorite series? Okay, this is getting into a really serious debate. It's going much deeper than I expected. So can we hear some answers of favorite series?
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders?
Yes.
I have to watch it. I've never... never watched it. Anyone else?
Glee.
Glee? Gardner's World. That's ideal if you want to go to sleep in like 5 minutes. Just sit down, 5 minutes, done. Killing Eve. Oh, I haven't watched it yet. Heard good things about it. Monkey Life. First series, Designated Survivor. Second and third are rubbish. Like, you get addicted with the first one and then it's rubbish afterwards. That's really bad. Yeah. House of Cards.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Friends.
Yeah, good one. Old time. Yeah. I grew up with that one. So can anyone try and guess which is my favorite series, knowing that kind of my standard is Will Ferrell or Wilson? It's by far, it's like the best by far. It's like you have this one and then the next. No. Well, it's The Office, US, best series ever. Amazing series. If you haven't watched it, it's just like... the best thing you can do. The thing with series is they get you kind of addicted in a way, or you kind of want to watch more and you want more, but it seems like it never satisfies. And when it finishes, then you're left like with an emptiness in your heart, and you're saying what's next, and you grab another series. And actually, it's great to watch series, and I love it. But what God talks about is a food, a meal that satisfies us the whole time. And it's that bread that he is. And basically what he's saying is, I am the bread of life. I am the thing that satisfies. I am the thing that if you search, you can meet and know, and it's just going to change your life. One of the things, another thing that I got quite addicted to is a video game. And I don't know how many of you are into video games, but I've spent like ridiculous amount of hours with, if you can see the next slide, with this game. So it's Championship Manager, Football Manager. And I've played so many hours growing up this game, and there's actually a book called Why Championship Manager Ruined My Life. and what I realized with this, I can't play it anymore because it just, you need too much time. So now I go for FIFA, you play Champions League, 10 games, and that's it. But with this thing is that you'd play a season and invest like 20 hours to finish a season, and then kind of you'd win everything you had to win. And then afterwards, you left like empty, and then you start again, and then left empty. And we have all these things in our life that kind of fill us for a while, but then leave us empty, for kind of lost without knowing what to do. And there's a very well-known writer called Bernard Levine. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I'm trying to be posh and say Levine. But he said, and he was not a Christian, he said, countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet live lives of desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them. understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them. And however much food and drink they put into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches. It's that human need that we have a hole inside of us that only God can satisfy. And Jesus is saying, I am that food that satisfies. I am that presence that comes into you that satisfies. So I'm going to share something definitely worth hearing.
I wasn't sure where to start this story, but as a kid I went to a boarding school, but I started at the age of 8. Felt like I was sent away from home. It was the thing to do. I didn't know any different. But by the time I got to my teenage years, sort of 14, 15, I was desperately unhappy. I hated it. Hated it to the extent that I wanted to end it all. So I tried. Bought a whole bunch of pills. Took them before I went to bed, sort of thinking, hoping that I was going to die in my sleep. It was that bleak. Well, I'm here today, so you can see it obviously didn't work. But I was violently sick that night. I ended up in the school sick bay, at which point I was horrendously embarrassed. So I was thinking, gosh, you know, what have I done? What are my parents going to think? What are my peers going to think? And I was kind of desperate. A doctor saw me that morning, and he examined me. And lo and behold, he said, yes, you've got an infection of your inner ear. It's upset your balance, made you sick. I mean, sort of like wow. Here was sort of thinking, I've tried to take my life, and the doctor's telling me I've got an illness. And so I was kind of saved. But that night, whilst I was trying to die, I had a vision. Call it a dream, if you will. And there's a link to Sean's sermon last week coming up. So I saw this rather cliched vision of God. I saw an old man. He had sort of white hair, long beard. He was sitting on what sort of seemed to be a bit like a throne. And he spoke to me. Now, at that point, I wasn't a Christian at all. I was a churchgoer. We went to church every Sunday, did Sunday school. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet God chose to talk to me, and he said, and you know, these words have stayed with me. He basically said, you do not have the right to take your life. I created you, and I put you on this world for a reason. And when the time is right, I'll tell you what that reason is. Tell you what your calling is. Now, I guess that here I am 50-odd years later on, and I'm still waiting to be told bluntly what this calling is. But I had another experience 20-odd years ago, actually nearly 30 years ago. I was driving along the motorway to work, thinking about the journey, how I was going to find this place, what I was going to talk to the people I met. And the radio was on, playing music of some kind. I can't remember what it was, but the radio was playing. And then there was a voice. It was as though there was somebody sitting in the car next to me. And the voice said, when you get home tonight, ask Penny to marry you. So I had a bit of an argument with this voice, because the reality is that Penny and I had been dating for the whole of 2.5 weeks. And it was, you know, come on, I've just met her. What do you mean? Go and ask her to marry you. When you get home tonight, ask her to marry you. Well, I knew that Penny had some family commitments. I had some commitments of my own, some friends I was going to meet up with, but I was dug in the ribs the whole way back home that evening. And yeah, I met up with Penny. And then I sort of thought, I was just totally dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. And there was that voice again. Ask her to marry you. Simple as that. Just ask her to marry you. So I did. She said yes. There was a but, and that's part of a whole different story. But I think the reason I felt called to say this is that, as Sean said, you know, we all have a calling. At the moment, I think my calling was actually just to marry Penny, believe it or not. But God speaks to us, and he has a need for us.
So spiritual food is Jesus. It's not something we do, it's just him. And he wants us to feed from him, from having that relationship with him. But we all kind of have different ways in which we relate with God. And there's many different ways in which you can go deeper with God and kind of feed. A bit like if you look at the bread, you can eat it in many different ways. And communion today, we have a really nice bread actually. I bought this like proper really good bread, so you can get a big chunk of it. I had a sandwich of kind of the same bread at midday. It's really good. But it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. But there's many different ways in which we can kind of feed on God and connect and go deeper with him. So if we look at the next slide, I did this a few weeks ago. I thought it worked really well because people come up with really good ideas. So if you can try with the people next to you and guess or think kind of what does each of these mean and how one of these connects with God. The easy one is obviously the hands like that is praying, but the rest, just have a think. So discuss with the people around you and try and guess which each one is, and then I'll give you the correct answer for that. Okay, let's try and give it a go. So, top left? Yeah. What do you think? Worship, yeah, singing. It's an easy one. Next one to the right, that's a really tricky one. It's tricky because I couldn't find anything better. So what do you think that one might be? Precious? Yeah, but it's not, I hadn't thought of that, but that's good enough. But anything else you might think of kind of the second one? Being together in the church with other people. That's close to what I was thinking, but mine's a bit specific, so it's a bit hard. So basically what I thought there is actually meeting with people from other churches, like when we go to Soul Survivor or New Wine or kind of bigger things where we connect with people who are maybe different to us. So that's why there's so many different thingies. The next one, the guy running, what might that be? Sorry? Relay. No, not really, but anything else you might think of? That's actually really good. I'll use it next time. But so that's actually someone doing exercise. So it's the spiritual discipline. You went much further, but that's just doing spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are different exercises we do to connect with God, which could be like fasting or having a retreat or having a kind of prayer walk or something a bit different. Fourth one?
Listen.
How do we listen? Kind of can be in a prayer time, a time of silence. Can listen to God through the Bible. We can listen to God through reading books. There's many ways in which we listen to God. The next one with many faces, this is quite similar to the other one. Meeting people, it's community, it's church, it's coming to church, it's meeting in house groups, life groups. Next one, thinking. So thinking about our faith and our life. We can do this by reading the Bible and listening to sermons. The other one is obviously praying. And the last one, work, serving God. That's another way in which we connect and we feed our lives. So there's many ways, and there's even more than these, in which we can feed and nurture our spiritual life. And what I'd like you to think about is maybe now we have the summer, so we have a bit more time and time to kind of do things a bit differently. So think of what you'd like to do in the summer, maybe differently. Something you'd like to try, something you think you should have been doing and you haven't and done. Something you might want to try this week. So I've thought of two things I want to do this week. The first one is a prayer walk. I haven't done a prayer walk for a while. Prayer walk is basically you go for a walk, say half an hour, and instead of just walking, you just pray about things that are around you. So if you go by a school, you pray for school. If you go to kind of the woods, you just pray, thank God for his creation and just worship him for who he is. It's just kind of a different way of praying, which I find much easier than sitting down and praying because it helps me focus. So actually, most of the time when I'm praying at home, I'm walking around the table. So it's the same thing, but outside. And the other thing I thought was spend Friday morning praying. So I go up to a prayer room in the Dell Center and can spend a few hours there. Well, that's maybe a privilege I have that most people don't, because I basically get paid to pray. That's what a vicar does. Work on Sundays, get paid to pray during the week, and so I get that space to do that. But just think of what you'd like to do, because actually it's worth trying something, because I think the life with God is actually an adventure, but we need to connect with Him. We need to feed on Him. We need to spend time with Him for it to actually be an adventure. If not, we end up being a bit like Jim Carrey and Freddie Mercury, having that hole in our lives and not knowing and losing the sense of who we are in Him. I'd like to end with a story of something that happened to me 3 years ago, and it's not spiritual at all, and I shared it at the 11. So 3 years ago, I moved from one flat in Leatherhead to another one. At the time, I was working as a football analyst in London, and I thought, as you know, kind of as you've seen, I kind of enjoy my series, so I decided I deserved, with the move and the stress of all of that, that I should buy a new television. So I said, okay, now we're going to get a proper bigger one, and I did something, and I must say, I think I'm quite smart generally, but in certain areas I'm really quite stupid. So I have this kind of balance, I think, between being smart and then making these really silly decisions, and this is one of many. So I was on the train going to London to my work in Camden Town, and I was looking at this app called Gumtree, and basically I was looking for televisions, and as you know, the app kind of checks things that are close to you. But close to you means close to where you are physically. So if you're on a train and you're kind of halfway to London, close to you is halfway to London, not close to you here. So I found this television, which was actually, I'm not sure if it's 50 or 55 inches, but it's a few years old, so it's not like proper thin. It's quite big. And it was a really good price. So I just sent a text to the guy, do you still have it? Bought it, and then I decided I'd go back on my way back from work, just stop and find it and grab it. And when I got there, I actually got there and this guy never appeared for a while. So I started texting him, and it's this like Canadian guy saying, and I was 20 minutes waiting outside his house, and he never replied. And suddenly he replied, yeah, I'm on my way. And he arrived and he had completely forgot about the fact that we had arranged for me to go. And he had quite a few drinks. So it was kind of an interesting conversation. We ended up talking about rugby, because he played a lot of rugby. He's this kind of massive guy as well. And at the end, I realized that we were close to the train station Balham, but it was like a 15-minute walk. And when I went in, I saw the size of this TV. I just thought, like, how am I going to do this? The TV is like this size, and it's this thick, more or less. So to kind of make a long story short, we ended up walking with this drunk Canadian guy in the middle of Balham, walking around pubs. It's just ridiculous. I just think, what am I doing here? I was walking with a Canadian guy, there's kind of people in the pubs having a drink, and we were walking with this massive television all the way to the station. Then I got to the station, I thanked the guy, goodbye, I had this really heavy television, got to the platform where I had to go, and nice, good old Southern decided to cancel the train, so I had to change platform, so I had to go down, up to the next platform with this massive television. I was just very scared I would break it the whole time. And after that, so I got the train, arrived here, kind of Ashted area, and in the train, I was speaking, I don't know how I ended up speaking to this lady who was just having a laugh at me with a big television. I just felt like the whole thing was so random, so unexpected, so different to my kind of my day. I'd planned to go to London, come back. I was actually had to watch a football match at 8 p.m. I was at the end, because this guy was late, I was kind of rushing to the flat to take everything. I just felt this is such a random day. Everything's kind of changed, completely unexpected. And I feel our life with God is that way if we let Him do that with us, if we let Him kind of follow His calling in our lives, if we let Him be the one who guides us, if we connect with him, if we go into kind of actually trying these things out, trying prayer and trying prayer walk and trying spending more time with him and let him guide us. And you'll end up probably having a life that is a really fun roller coaster where kind of one day you are working in a lighting factory in Argentina, next day you're working as a football analyst in London and then working for church. And it's just like, how did I end up here? And how did I end up with this Canadian guy walking through Balham with this massive television? It's just, I think the life of God is like that. It's kind of an exciting adventure. But we need to let him guide us. We need to let him connect with us. We need to kind of spend some time doing these things and nourishing our souls. So I'd like to give you like 1 or 2 minutes where you can just think of these things and think of what you'd like to do more in the summer, what would you like to do this week. And if you're brave enough, if you'd like to grab your telephones and put a date in your diary, I tend to do that, it helps me, and because then I feel guilty if I don't do it. So I'll put in my diary Friday morning, say 10 to 12 time of prayer, or Tuesday afternoon go for a prayer walk. So maybe if you'd like to put one thing in your diary, if you use your diary in your telephone, one thing you'd like to do this week to nourish your soul and to feed on Jesus. And I'll just give you 1 or 2 minutes to think about that, be silent, and then we'll continue the service. So let us pray. Jesus, we hear Jim Carrey says, so they can see that being rich and famous is not the answer. We hear Levine saying that everyone has a hole inside of them that they can't fulfill. And Jesus, you are the one who gives us that food that means we'll never be hungry again. You're the one who nourishes us. You're the one who fills us. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll guide us and help us to find ways in which we can connect with you. And if that means 5-minute prayer or 5 minutes reading the Bible, or if it means just singing one song, but just, Lord, we want to connect with you. We want to go deeper with you. We want to discover the adventure that you have for us, the calling and the things you want to do through us and with us. And it's great, Lord, to know that you have thought of us, that you have faith in us to do your work. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll remind us and help us realize how important it is to spend time with you. In Jesus' name, amen.